From Alaska Public Media, this is State of Art. Welcome to State of Art, your weekly dose of Anchorage arts and culture. I'm Ammon Swenson. Coming up, we'll hear about a play that tells the true story of unjustly imprisoned members of the Baha'i faith after the Iranian Revolution in 1979. This production of When the Moment Comes is part of the global campaign Our Story is One, which recognizes the 40th anniversary of the execution of 10 Baha'i women in Iran. The play runs Friday, April 12th through Sunday, April 14th at APU's Grant Hall. Friday and Saturday's performances are at 7 p.m. and Sunday's is at 2 p.m. Let's be a fly on the wall for a second and listen in to a recent rehearsal.
My friend Shirin and I went to the prison often, too. It was a very dangerous thing to do, and in the beginning, the idea terrified Shirin. She knew that if we visited the Baha'i prisoners, then the guards would realize that we were Baha'is and we would be arrested too. It was a constant concern because the Baha'is could be arrested at any given moment of the day or night, at home, on the street, anywhere. Roya and her mother and father were all arrested together. Mona and her father were taken by the guards from their home. When her mother pleaded with them, asking why they wanted her 16-year-old daughter, they said, "That's a stupid question. She'll soon be a great promoter of your faith."
Now we're joined by the play's producer and lead actor, Nava Bastani Saraceno.
So I've always acted, but then I went through a very hard time in my mid-30s where kind of like everything fell apart. And I realized this is a calling in my spirit, and not everyone wants to be an actress and in theater. And so I needed to kind of pursue it. And that's the first time I started calling myself an actress and a storyteller and stuff.
Let's kind of set the stage for what the play is about. So could you kind of, for those of us who probably aren't super familiar with, you know, the Iranian Revolution in 1979, could you kind of set the historical stage for what people can kind of expect this story to take place in?
Yeah. So firstly, the Baha'i community, they're the largest religious minority group in Iran. But since their foundings 200 years ago, they've been quite heavily persecuted in various ways, from right out death to, you know, subtle ways of not allowing them into university for the past 40 years. So during the Shah's time, Iran's had a very politically roller coaster journey. There was a lot of people that were not happy with the Shah, the king of Iran, because he didn't kind of run the country very well. So there were a lot of groups kind of vying for power. And one of them was the religious group. But they weren't the only one. There was communism, there was agriculture, there was, you know, business. And when he was deposed, the Islamic Revolution happened, and actually it got taken over by the Islamic kind of faction. And then they came in 1979, and they spelled kind of the end of any sort of rights for Baha'is. But again, they've always been the scapegoat. So if you kind of want to deflect, you know, attention on you, you use the Baha'is.
And social problems, blaming
on
them.
Yeah, exactly. The Baha'is are they're just at the lowest rung. Yeah. Of mistreatment. So in 1979 really is when the severe persecutions once again hit the Baha'is.
Well, can we talk about, before we get into the play specifically, I know that this is kind of organized around this global campaign. Could you talk about the Our Story is One campaign?
Yeah. So Our Story is One is a really beautiful campaign worldwide that's garnered a lot of attention. And it's really to honor the lives of 10 women who were killed on the 18th of June, 1983, in a city called Shiraz in Iran. And in secret, they were taken out and hung together. The youngest was a girl of 17, and the oldest was a woman of 54. They had been in prison many months, and they had been tortured both physically and emotionally. And their only crime was because they were a Baha'i. But when they couldn't be called to recant their faith, in the end, they were hung. But why it's called Our Stories Are One is because it's really saying that anyone who stands and sacrifices for the cause of justice is connected to their story. Their story is connected to all of us who sacrifice to try and bring bring equality into the world, justice into the world, freedom into the world. So the campaign's really using their lives to highlight the lives of the women in Iran, of the people in Iran, and really of all those that are suffering under oppression for no other reason than they're different.
You don't have to give too much away about the play itself, but, you know, what can we expect from the performance? I mean, it sounds like it might be kind of a difficult story.
Well, one thing I'll tell you is the memoirs are based on Ruhi Jahanpour, and that is my character. So the play basically goes between her in present time or sometime in the future, and then her in prison, because she was in prison with these women and some of the men. So the story really traces 5 of the 10 women, as well as 4 men who were in prison at this time. The beautiful thing is she's actually coming up to the show, and so she'll be doing talkbacks after the show. And, you know, questions and answers and sharing a bit. And she says in the show, which is true, is she was mysteriously released. They, for a day, said Baha'is could be released on bail, and her bail was posted, and she was released. The next day they came back to try and get the others out. They said, no, there's no bail for Baha'is. They're not allowed to be released. So very mysteriously, she was released. And because of her, we have this story of these incredible souls.
Well, I mean, obviously, this story has a lot of weight. And what made you initially want to go ahead and tell this story, you know, even though you didn't have a ton of, experience producing plays?
Yeah. I grew up knowing about Mona, the youngest girl who was killed when she was 17. And her story was very inspiring. I remember when I first heard her story, kind of not quite understanding how this girl about my age could do that. And also, like, would I ever be asked to do this? You know, like putting myself in her shoes. And when I realized it was her 40th anniversary, I really wanted to do something to honor her. And then I heard about the campaign, and I happened to come across this play. And as soon as I read it, I was like, I've got to do this. I have to. I consistently do things that I actually have no idea how much is there. And then I feel God or the angels just come along and assist me and bring me the right people and connect me to what I need. Because honestly, yeah, I would not have done it if I had known. I wouldn't have had the courage, probably.
Well, it's a good thing you've got a supportive theater community around you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, speaking of that support and stuff that you got, did you find that your cast members, were any of them familiar with the scenario, or was it kind of a big learning experience for everybody?
So some of the cast is Baha'i. So, of course, some of them know the stories vaguely. But some don't actually. It's like they've heard the names, but they don't know the stories. Some of the cast is not Baha'i. They've never even heard of the Baha'i faith before. So, and it's been very touching to see how much these cast members have really connected to their characters and to who they're acting. And we've done some background work with people. So, for example, we had a Persian dinner that one of my friends hosted to kind of get to know a bit about Iran and that. Some of the refugees, Baha'i refugees, spoke about their experience. We had a discussion on the Baha'i faith for them to understand a bit about that background. We're going to hopefully have a discussion on the Islamic faith because I think I really want to highlight that religious fanaticism is often not the faith. And especially in America, I think right now Islam is seen as kind of a fanatic, dark, heavy energy. And of course, this play deals with that. But I don't want it to any way add to any misunderstanding of the faith itself. Baha'is, actually, we believe in the Prophet Muhammad. We cannot be Baha'is unless we believe in the past religions. So I want this to be an educational piece, that fanaticism in any form is wrong, and there's been many people of Islamic background in Iran that helped the Baha'is, that, you know, safeguarded the Baha'is, that protested against what's happened. Right now with our Stories Are One, a letter was just released of about 170 Iranian intellectuals who have come out in support of the Baha'is.
Well, let's see. So you mentioned kind of partnering with the Baha'i community and stuff like that. I mean, what was What has that experience been like, either for A, the, you know, actors who didn't have any experience yeah. with the religion, or, you know, maybe the Baha'i folks kind of seeing other people, you know, committing themselves to tell this story?
So I think for the Baha'i community, they've been kind of, I think they've been so touched. Like, I know initially they were like, well, who's going to come to this play? And I was like, this is a historically important play to share. And I think they've been very touched, seen like, just like, whoa, okay, this is great. And I know the actors, they've just been like, oh, the Baha'is are so sweet. Da, da, da. And I've been, I said yesterday to them, I said, we're just like everyone else. You know, you got the ones that are lovely and warm, and then you've got your difficult Baha'is. So,
we're all human.
Yeah, but I think it's been a lovely weaving together,
yeah.
which has been touching.
We've kind of touched on this for sure, but what do you hope audiences, you know, take away from, you know, this story?
You know what I think I want most? One is to honor the Baha'is in Iran, but I think second is, I think the Baha'is really, in Iran, they give us an example of resiliency and hope. They've been victimized for over 200 years. They've gone through some of, I would say, some of the worst persecution that you can see in the last 200 years. They were brutally murdered, killed, slain, their heads put on spears 200 years ago in Iran. But they've never allowed this to make them victims. They have taken this and they've taken those spiritual teachings and made themselves into spiritual giants. Now, of course, not all the Baha'i, many have, I'm sure, have lost their faith in Iran. Some are cynical, some, but as a whole, as a group, as a whole, I think they really offer us an incredible example of taking adversity and using it to strengthen yourself and to not lose your hope in humanity. Yeah, so I think that's what I want, like that we can do a lot better than division.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, one final kind of cerebral question. For yourself, do you think that you're more affected by a story when it's told in kind of more of a dramatic setting, like a play, or just having the straight up facts distilled to you?
Always story. Always story.
Why is that?
I think because we are all humans and we are all nuanced. And when you have the straight facts, you can become black and white in your thinking. Mm. When you see a person that's just like you and you hear their story, you think about it in a very, very deep way. And for me, drama is a great educational force, and I don't think we see it that way. We see theater and the arts often as entertainment, and we don't see them as actually they can transform hearts. They can change minds. They can really, if we use them correctly, they can uplift people in such a powerful way and really change the world. They're not, to me, they are not entertainment. They're a very strong force for social change.
That was Nava Bastani Saraceno, producer and lead actor in the upcoming production of When the Moment Comes. The play runs Friday, April 12th through Sunday, April 14th at APU's Grant Hall. Friday and Saturday's performances are at 7 p.m. and Sunday's is at 2 p.m. And that's all the time we have for you today. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org, the Alaska Public Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ammon Swenson. Thanks for listening.
State of Art is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed are those of the hosts and participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Theme music is Spring Breakup by Termination Dust. Get in touch with the host by sending an email to soa@alaskapublic.org.